Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another great episode of Breaking Barriers Now. I am so excited today to have my guest, Troy Delaney, on here. This was a connection of the unknown, and it was just really funny how we met. I actually knew your wife from where my daughter goes to school. And just out of the blue one day, she said, "You have to meet my husband." And I had no idea why. Until I kind of started, you know, digging in and doing the research. And I was like, oh, now I know why she wanted me to meet you. So you guys, if you're, you know, listening from wherever, Troy is here in Jacksonville, Florida as well. And, you know, I'm really just looking forward to where this conversation goes, looking forward to listening to your story, what brought you to where you are now, and, you know, just whatever you want to share today. So thank you, first of all, for taking the time to come on here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Excited. No problem. Yeah, me too. We've been waiting for this for a while, huh? Yes. We were talking about it, last month sometime, a couple months ago? Yeah. So this has been a long time coming. So I am grateful for, you know, I always tell people, like, you know, time is our biggest asset. So when people take the time out to come on here, I am truly grateful for that. And you've got some great things going on. I was doing some digging, and I can't wait to uncover. Because I saw your, I try to not to say before and after photos, because it's never after, right? It's always during the journey. It's right. Never necessarily after the journey's over. It never ends. But I did see your photos and looked at your website. And you guys, I will have all that information up for you later on. But again, welcome to the show. I'd love to start off with just, you know, telling us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, how you grew up, and, you know, kind of what led you to where you are now.
Sure. So I grew up in Port Charlotte, Florida, which is the Gulf Coast. And I went to high school pretty much from 5 years old until I graduated high school, and then moved to Orlando for school. And that's where I met my wife at UCF. Hmm. And we lived there through our undergraduate and graduate degree. I started working for Lockheed Martin, the defense contractor. While I was there, I got into an operations leadership program and went through that, which is basically, it was a 2-year program. It was basically 4 6-month rotations. I did in Orlando. And then after that first year, I had the opportunity to move to a different location. And I had always dreamed of living in California. And that was actually one of the more competitive locations to move to. But I was fortunate enough to get a job there and move there for two more rotations. And my wife and I lived out there for about a year and a half, which was basically a year and a half vacation, just because there was so much to do out there. We loved it.
What part were you in? What part of California?
We lived in San Jose, so Northern California.
Okay. I haven't been there yet, but I'm going one day.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing. I mean, we had 3 hours, within 3-hour drive, we were in Tahoe or Yosemite, an hour to the beach.
Nice.
It was just so much to do there. So we just lived it up for a year and a half while I worked out there. And then, when we decided to kind of settle down, we moved back to Florida and ended up in Jacksonville, just because we didn't really want to get too landlocked in Florida. So we wanted something that we can, you know, drive to the mountains if we wanted to. So just settled down in Jacksonville. And I worked for Lockheed Martin for 9 more years from living in Jacksonville, actually driving up to St. Mary's, Georgia, for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And then about 7 years ago, I started working at Mayo Clinic as a management consultant. So I've been working with them ever since. The whole time, always growing up, I've always kind of been interested in health and fitness. And I was never really an athlete in high school. I mean, I tried out for every sport. I didn't make the soccer team, which I really wanted to make. I did my athletic career in high school was kind of interesting. So I basically tried out for every sport. I did one conditioning for football, did one conditioning for wrestling. I tried out for the soccer team, didn't make it. Did one track meet. I think I was on the cross country team for a few months, and then did one swim meet. So I tried out every sport, just never stuck with anything. I was just never an athletic person. And I was never really in shape or anything like that either. So just never really got, I've always interested in health and fitness, but I just never really got into it from an athletic standpoint.
I gotcha. But out of that, what you just said, that shows a lot of grit because you tried everything. You like, you could have stopped after that first one, right? But you kept trying. So that, I mean, that says something about you already. You don't quit very easily, obviously.
And that's kind of what got me into, you know, the whole rabbit hole I went down as far as, you know, mental toughness and doing some kind of crazy races down the road. Like, you know, I've done some triathlons and some Spartan races and some 12-hour adventure races. I've done all kinds of things that kind of spurred the interest. Like I was interested, I was trying different things and just, you know, kind of pushing myself a little bit. But I don't think it really didn't take place until, so we were out in California and I was training for a triathlon and someone told me about a book called Paleo Diet for Athletes. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard of the Paleo Diet and someone just said, you know, this is a good way, you should check this out and see if it helps with your training. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. So I did the Paleo Diet for 30 days. And after that, I actually had abs, which I've never seen abs in myself before. And I was like, man, if I could do this with just changing my diet for 30 days, what else am I capable of? And that really, I think that really spurred my journey into digging into health and fitness. And that, I think that's really what got me on track on exploring all the different, you know, what's out there as far as getting different lifestyle factors to improve both mental and physical fitness.
Yeah. So here's a question that I have, because I do a lot of nutrition coaching and I, you know, I'll have people that come to me after they've tried like the paleo diet or the keto diet or something. And they all, you know, you get results from them, obviously, because it's usually teaching you how better habits, right?
Right. But exactly.
When people come to me, it's because they don't know what to do next, right? So that's where I usually kind of grab on and say, okay, this is what you have to do now in order to make this a lifestyle. So my question is, did you stay with the paleo diet or what did you do after that?
So that's, and I'm not a big, I like the paleo diet, but I think it's a good starting point for people because it cuts out all processed food. Mm-hmm. Currently I'm not 100% paleo, but I think it's a good way to start because you're cutting out basically all refined mostly refined carbohydrates. It allows you to, it's basically a binary thing. You know, yes, I can have it because it's a whole food. No, I can't. And it just makes selecting food a lot easier. Then once you go through that, at least 30 days, you really do start to see results. And again, like you said, it's just really, you're cutting out processed food, which pretty much every diet is really doing. And if you do that, you'll see results. So it's a good, like jumping in point. And then I started reintroducing different foods to see, you know, how does my body feel when I eat wheat? How does my body feel when I eat dairy? And then you can actually kind of test things out and see what's really working for you. What makes you feel good? And you know, helping with like brain fog and because a lot of times foods can trigger that kind of stuff and you don't know until you cut it out and then reintroduce it.
Yeah.
So now I stick to more of a whole foods diet. It's similar to paleo. And I try to control the amount of carbohydrates that I have, but I don't like limit it.
So you don't restrict yourself. You just kind of implement it when you need it. Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's good. So you went from, you know, trying all those sports and not really progressing in those, but then you went, so how old were you when you kind of went into the paleo and started training for the triathlon?
So that was mid 20s.
Okay.
And that was about 2008, 2007, 2008 when I started really getting into that.
Okay.
It helped me just understand like how nutrition plays for performance, like, you know, how does it make you feel when you're, you know, what will get you going through the harder times and, you know, how does your body react if you're just running off of fat instead of carbohydrates? So it gave me a good kind of dial that I can turn to determine, you know, what did I need to do for my performance?
Yeah. That's good. So with your upbringing, I'm going to go back just a little bit, like with your upbringing, because we didn't really touch on that too much. Like, was there any kind of barriers that you had to break? Because you said you weren't really in shape back then. Like, what were some of the things, even mental barriers, that maybe you had to break just kind of going through maybe high school or college or whatever?
Yeah. So I'm looking back on it now, it was always, I think, just like a self-doubt, like I couldn't do this. Mm. I think I would try something and then just think, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this because I'm not going to be able to win. Or my first track meet I did, I came in last place. So I think it just kind of set me back in thinking, I didn't realize what I was actually capable of. Mm. When I was young. And if I had the opportunity to talk to my old self, I would be like, you got to push yourself a little harder, and you have these mental barriers, and once you actually get past one of the mental barriers, you kind of see the light and say, oh, look, I can push myself harder than I thought.
Right.
And I didn't have that mindset when I was growing up.
Yeah. The reason I asked you that is because, I mean, especially, you know, we don't know who's going to listen to this, and there could be, you know, teenagers out there, or, you know, young adults or whatever. And I think it's always important to kind of touch on that because, you know, with a lot of things that I do and probably you do is kind of, you know, we can't go back in time and change anything, but if we can pay that forward and just say, hey, you know, don't quit, don't give up, you know, just keep kind of pressing forward. If it's something that you really want to do, then, you know, that's what it's for. So that's why I asked that question, just kind of curious.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's all about just pushing yourself a little farther than you think you're capable of, because what you end up finding out is, you know what, I can do this. I'm more capable than I actually thought I was. Mm-hmm. And that kind of runs through all the different things I've done in the past. It's always like, you know, what's pushed me a little farther. And it's really just the mindset that I can do more than I actually believe I can do. And the only way to find that out is actually push yourself beyond that point where you think, I can't do this. And if you just keep going a little more, you'll see that, you know, there's a lot more to it than what you believe.
Definitely. Yeah. I have a saying, it's not failure until you quit. Yeah. Like, we can make all the mistakes in the world. It might take us 20 years to get where we want to go, but until we quit, it's not a failure. Right. So kudos to you for not quitting.
It's all learning opportunities. I mean, you learn from it and you just keep moving.
Right. Yeah. So that's awesome. All right. So, and you said you worked for Lockheed Martin. So I'm very versed in Lockheed Martin. I was in the Air Force and I worked on airplanes for about 14 years. So we had very versed in Lockheed Martin. So that was interesting when you said that. I don't know if you noticed, but I think my eyes probably perked up like, oh, I know that one.
Right? I knew you had a military background. I remember my wife saying that.
Yeah. So it's funny how that kind of came up, but now you said you're working for the Mayo Clinic as a management consultant. So talk a little bit about that. What does that look like for you?
So it's funny. It's actually very similar work that I did at Lockheed. So Lockheed, I was a black belt, which is basically, a Lean Six Sigma black belt. And I did a lot of process improvement projects. And while I was working at Lockheed in Georgia, someone showed me a resume or a job rec for Mayo Clinic and said, hey, this looks like something you already do. Would you be interested in applying for this job? And I was like, oh, wow, Mayo actually has process improvement built into their culture.
They better.
Yeah. They better. Yeah. And I realized that it's been embedded into their culture for like 70 years. I mean, the department I'm in has been built into it. So I applied for the job and I was fortunate enough to get it. And so basically what I do now is the same thing. It's just, before with Lockheed, it was more like manufacturing for process improvement projects. And now I'm obviously working in the healthcare setting and doing similar work, just looking at workflows and how can we make things more efficient and improve the outcomes and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's awesome. So, but then you started your own thing on the side too, because you have a website, you have social media. So talk a little bit about that. Like, what got you started there?
So that's the passion for just health and fitness has always been there. And in 2008, I kind of started my own company I've always been kind of like an entrepreneur at heart. I just never just jumped all in. I've always enjoyed the work I was doing with Lockheed and Mayo Clinic. So I didn't ever want to give that up, but I wanted just something that I could kind of explore my interest in health and fitness. So I started a blog, TroyDelaney.com, and I started, I did CrossFit, and that kind of got me into, again, that's, you know, really seeing what am I capable of. I mean, they push you to understand that you can lift heavier weights than you thought you could, and you can really push yourself. Mm-hmm. So I ended up coaching for about a year with CrossFit.
Okay.
And that kind of just got me going into like the whole fitness aspect. And so I would blog about, so the blog is called, My Wife Thinks I'm Crazy, But It Works.
I saw that.
And my wife,
I definitely got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah. My wife came up with that, and it's because I'm constantly doing like self experiments and just kind of fringe things that, just testing things out. I love doing self experiments, and that's kind of what the blog is about. Is about different experiments that I do and just testing new products and different diets and, you know, everything that's out there. I just love trying new things and experimenting. And again, that goes back to, you know, the willingness to just dabble in different things and see what works for me, and then share my experience so others are, you know, more open to trying different things and seeing, you know, it works for them. But it's all around like health and fitness related, topics.
Okay. So is it just the website, or you have like a YouTube channel? I didn't notice that. If you did.
So I do have a YouTube channel. I don't create much content. I'm wanting to do more YouTube channel stuff. It's more blogging. And then I do run 5 different Facebook private groups on health and longevity. So I just have, that's the, my main interest now is more like health and longevity related. Mm-hmm. So how do you live as long and as healthy as possible? And just different lifestyle factors behind that. So I run a couple different private groups that are interested in that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So what are some tips that you have? Cause I know I've looked at your website, but I'm not going to spill that. I'm going to let you do it. What are some tips that you have for people? Cause you know, we're all kind of looking to, I think, that longevity factor, right? Like I tell people all the time, like, you know, I can't omit everything, right? Like I was in the military, I've been in contact with a lot of chemicals. I mean, who knows what could happen later, but if I can do, you know, whatever's in my control. So if I can eat better, if I can exercise more, if I can, you know, do the mindset stuff and try not to get too stressed and overwhelmed, those are things that I have ultimate control over, right? So with you, you know, what are some tips that you give people when they're looking for that longevity factor?
My biggest thing is I like to stack things on top of each other, like multiple habits, so that I get the most out of what I'm doing. And my morning routine is probably the perfect thing, the perfect thing that kind of explains this. So every morning, get the kids ready and everyone goes, my wife goes to work and the kids go to school. And then I walk my dog. But instead of just walking my dog, I'm doing multiple things. So I'm getting out in nature. I'm getting morning sun exposure, which is super important for, you know, circadian rhythm. And just it not only will improve sleep, but it just helps reset your body and you just feel good.
Right.
So I get that. I get my dog walked. While I'm doing it, I carry 60 pounds of weight. So I'm rucking. I'm not sure how familiar you are with rucking, but I
think you probably, yeah.
And that's a big thing in Jacksonville too, apparently, because GoRuck is right down the road from us.
Yep.
So I just started doing that stuff probably a year ago and just slowly increasing the weight. So my walk is not just a walk. It's like, I'm actually getting a decent workout in too. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I do that for about a 40 minute walk. So I get that in. And then I do a cold plunge after that, and I get in a self-built chest freezer cold plunge that's set at 34 degrees. I do that for 3 minutes, and that's big for mindset. I do focused breathing. I think breathing is so underrated. Most people don't realize how important proper breathing is.
Yes.
You know, activating your rest and digest nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system, mm-hmm. through nasal breathing versus mouth breathing. So I do the chest, the cold plunge just for breath work. I feel amazing after. And there's so many benefits to cold exposure in general. We can go down that for a little bit too, if we want. I do that for 3 minutes and get that. And that's one of the mental barriers I have too, because I don't look forward to getting in. It's cold. It's 34 yes. degrees. So every morning I have that mental barrier.
That's why your wife thinks you're crazy.
Yes. Now she has done the ice bath once. So
yeah,
she's tried it.
Once? She only did it once?
She did it once and that was enough for her. But I feel like everyone has got to try an ice bath or at least a cold shower.
Yes.
Just to see, you know, how you do. Like there's even benefits to helping with depression, just
yes,
because it increases the hormones that are regulating mood. I just know after I get out of that ice bath, I don't know if it's my body just saying I survived or what, but I just feel great the rest of the day. I'm energized, I'm ready to start the day, and it just changed the way I look on life. It's just getting in the ice bath for 3 minutes, knowing that I got that. It's almost like eating the toad,
that
one thing you don't want to do, but you do it anyway. And then you feel great the rest of the day because you got it done.
Right. Yeah. And that's something that I talk to people about all the time too. And probably you have the same conversations where it's like, I don't always feel like going and exercising, right? Like if I went off of how I felt, I probably would just, sit on the couch. But I know it kind of like what you said, it's like, I know how I'll feel after the fact, right? So even if maybe my body's aching or I have some, some pain going on or something like that, I know that I will still feel better mentally if I go get it done. So I love what you said about that. There is a ton of research out there on, cold water first thing in the morning. I was listening to a podcast a few years ago with Ed Milette. I don't know if you listen to him, but he actually had someone on and they were talking about that. And that was something that I didn't do. And I said, well, I'm going to try that. Right. And so, it's funny because, I've taken cold showers, not planning on it, especially being in the military, you didn't always have access to the hot water. Right. So I've done that, not planning on it. And at first it's like, this sucks, but eventually your body just kind of gets used to it. Right. So is that how the ice baths work too for you?
Yeah, absolutely. The big thing is the breath. It goes back to the breath because that's like mm-hmm. the remote control. When you get in, obviously the first initial thing you're going to do is go, and then what you have to just focus on is just breathing, controlled mm-hmm. breathing, because that gets you in the mindset of it just gets the entire body in the rest and digest versus just the excited, excited state. So just doing that breathing. And then once you get in, you actually feel your body just settling down, realizing the worst part is really getting in. Once you're in, it's just, you just sit there and breathe and that's it.
Yeah.
And then you were asking what are some of the things that I would recommend? I mean, breath work, just doing even 2 minutes of breath work, and you can do it any time of the day. You could literally do it when you're driving. Just something where you're focused on your breathing, realizing, trying to do nasal breathing, just so you can activate that the rest state. And you'll just notice like any anxiety or stress, it kind of melts away. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge thing. And that's, like I said, that's incorporated into my morning routine, the morning sun. I mean, so many people don't realize how important it is just to get even 10 minutes of morning sun exposure in the morning, just to let that light into your eyes. Pushing yourself out of your comfort zone is a big thing too, I think. Did you read the book Anti-Fragile? Have you ever heard of it?
I haven't read it, but I have heard of it. Yeah. It's on my list.
Okay. So, and I would recommend there's an app called Blinkist. I don't know if it basically summarizes the books in 15 to 20 minute blinks.
Okay.
That's a great way to just get the summary of it. If you don't have time to read books, I go through so many books just listening to the blinks.
I like but it. I'll have to remember that. I'll put that make sure I put that in the bio too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that book I read a couple of years ago, and that completely changed. It was a complete paradigm shift for me because it basically the whole takeaway is we have a definition for fragile, which is easy to break. Mm-hmm. And you would think the opposite of that. We don't have a definition for the opposite of fragile. We have kind of, the opposite would be something that, won't break under pressure. But it's rigid. But the true opposite of fragile is something that actually benefits from volatility and stress. Mm-hmm. And so the author came up with a concept called anti-fragile, basically things that thrive in stress or volatile situations. And that just resonates so well with me, like knowing that things that if you embrace, chaos, and you embrace the change and you embrace stress, you can actually use it to your advantage.
Yes.
Which I never thought about before. And that's the same thing with like exercise. It's stress on your body and it makes you stronger. Mm-hmm. Same thing with cold exposure and in sauna use. Those are all stresses on the body that, during the time it's stressful, but your body actually gets stronger after.
Right.
And that whole concept really resonated with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you were talking about with the, just to kind of go back with the breath work. Like I deal with anxiety. I was diagnosed with anxiety disorder and things like that. And so I must use those tools, right? So when I do, the good thing about knowing now and going through all that journey is now I'm aware of it. So now instead of when it used to creep up and I had no idea, right? So I just kept pressing. But now when it starts creeping up, I can catch it beforehand. And the breathing is so important. And like you said, we get in the shower or something, like if it's a cold shower, I mean, I think back in the day, and I guess it was just kind of a natural response, because when I would get in the cold showers, that's exactly what I would do, right? It's like, whoo, right? Like, right. And you're breathing through it. And that's like when I was doing personal training, that was the same thing with the clients that I was working with, like teaching them how to breathe. And it's really interesting how many people don't really know how to breathe,
Right.
So what are some things that you usually, as I know you said, start with a couple of minutes. I usually say that too. So what are some things that you usually tell people who are trying to get started in that and just don't really know how to breathe?
It's super simple. You just set 2 minutes a day. And the important thing is to do it consistently. Mm-hmm. I think you obviously know that as a coach, but you just sit there for 2 minutes and breathe through your nose there's different methods, but the simplest thing is you could do box breathing, where you're basically breathing in for a certain amount of seconds. You hold for the same amount, you release for the same amount, and then you hold for the same amount. So it's, mm-hmm. Square. So you're doing 5 seconds in, hold 5 seconds, 5 seconds out, 5 second hold. And you just do that for 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you just do that every day for 2 minutes. And then maybe after a week, you increase it to 5 minutes. And get that 5 minutes in. And you can do that, as soon as you wake up. You could do it before you go to bed to just calm yourself. The most important thing is basically, if you want to calm yourself, you're extending the exhale. So you would do like a 3 second inhale and then a 6 second exhale. So that's the exhale is actually very stimulating to the parasympathetic nervous system. So you could do the box breathing, or you could do the 3 seconds in, 6 seconds out. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say the consistency is because you're building that habit. And the whole point of doing this kind of stuff is so that you're kind of inoculating yourself to stress, or you're building that routine so that when something does happen where that anxiety kicks in, or you're in a weird situation, or you don't know what to do, it's just a habit. Your body just automatically does that breathing, and you've got it built in. Yeah. And that's why it's so important to just build that habit, and just do, and start small. Just do something simple, as simple as just 2 minutes a day, and work your way up.
Yeah. And that is so on point, because I always tell people, like, life happens, like we can't plan. I teach people how to plan their meals and do those things. But I'm sorry, we cannot plan for life, especially if we're parents or, we work for somebody or whatever. Like, we can't control outside circumstances. Like, I was in two car accidents last year. Like, I couldn't control that, right? But now that I had practiced the breathing, like anytime I do have a stressful situation, and I actually talk to people like who have hypertension, I tell them about this, because a lot of times they get stressed out just putting the cuff on their arm, right? Because this is something they've been dealing with. And so that adds stress, and then their blood pressure is high, right? And so I'll tell them, like, hey, take a few breaths before you actually, if you go to the doctor, take some breaths before you go in, right? Or if you're at home and you have that blood pressure cuff on, make sure you take a few deep breaths before you actually start. And it's interesting how that affects, just our blood pressure and our pulse. And that should tell us something, right? That's our heart rate. So that should tell us something right there. So I definitely, I appreciate you for being an advocate of that and helping, you know, get that word out, because I always say, I have a voice, but when we have, you know, 1,000 voices kind of saying the same thing, that makes it a bigger impact.
There might be something there if you have multiple people are saying it.
Exactly. And then what you said about vitamin D is really good too. You know, when COVID came about and everybody was kind of sitting inside, I had actually researched vitamin D, and I was in medical school for a little while too. And so we actually had to study that stuff. And it's, you know, vitamin D is a direct correlation to depression.
Right.
When people are just inside all the time, which is what was happening during COVID. And I was just like, oh my God, get out, right? Like get outside, because a lot of people were getting depressed and kids were getting depressed. Right. So what you said about that is so true. Being able to get that first thing in the morning, I always tell people, like, if you can carve out 10 minutes, get outside, you know, that's huge.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think just, if you can start your day with just some outdoor, an opportunity to get outdoors, get the sun on you and just breathe in some fresh air. I think it just try it for a week, you know, do it for 5 to 10 minutes and see, do you feel any better after that? That's the best way to do it. The same thing with the breathing. And if 2 minutes is too much for you, then just throughout the day, just acknowledge, just check in and see how are you breathing? Are you breathing through your mouth? Are you breathing through your nose? And just check in, and that could be your breathing for that day, just to check in and see. It's super simple things that you can do that can have huge impacts on your overall life.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you have the blog, and so I'm guessing, I don't want to assume, but have you been a writer for a long time, or you just decided you wanted to start writing?
No, I just felt like I had something to share that people might find interesting. So I just started writing.
I like it. That's awesome. I
wouldn't say I'm a great writer, but the thing is, I get into the details of a lot of things. I like to, like I said, I like to do a lot of experiments. So I'm always measuring and testing, and I wear, different wearables to kind of measure different things. So my blog posts are pretty detailed. I get into all, like, you know, what changed, what did I notice? It doesn't come natural to me, but I just feel like there's certain things I try to share, you know, what I've experienced and what people can kind of take away from the experiences I've had. The YouTube channel is just more of a, it's a kind of a collaboration with my daughter. My daughter likes to make, some review videos. We'll try different products out and make videos for that. And that's kind of what I've been doing with YouTube, is just, you know, I'm testing out different products, and my daughter likes to be part of the conversations and different food and stuff like that. So it keeps it entertaining.
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. And I think that is important, you know, cause it sounds like you're kind of a researcher too. And I've always been like that too. And it's funny, because I'm like, man, if we had video back in the day, I would have had a ton of videos, right? Cause that's what I was doing. It was like trying stuff, and that's not good. Maybe that is good. So I love that you do that, because we have to share that information, you know, and we're going through it just like everybody else is, right? Like I never say I know everything, but I'll figure it out eventually if you give me enough time. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'd rather be able to share that with other people, and so they can kind of learn best practices and lessons learned before, you know, so they don't have to stumble through the same thing.
Yeah.
At the same time, just kind of challenging people to, you know, test things out, see how it works, and see if you're feeling different. Just be willing to do that. And you might be surprised at what kind of things you find out about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think, let's see, what else is there about you that people need to know?
So, well, you did mention something about during COVID, when everyone was kind of staying inside. And another book that I thought that kind of resonated with me was, it's called The Comfort Crisis. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have. Because I always tell people, welcome to the uncomfort zone when they work with me. Like, yes. You better be ready to be uncomfortable.
Yes. I mean, that is another book that just kind of resonated with me. I mean, it kind of goes together with Anti-Fragile, because the whole premise is basically our lives have become so almost easy because we're in a controlled environment. We work out in an air-conditioned gym, and we have 24/7 access to food, And we just have all these luxuries that we don't realize are actually making us weaker.
Right.
And just experiencing that stress every now and then of, you know, maybe skip a meal and see how you feel. And, you know, expose yourself to that cold temperature. If it's winter time, I'll go out and walk around in my shorts just because it's kind of an opportunity to get some of that cold exposure. But our bodies are kind of meant to have that stress every now and then, kind of. Mm-hmm. And it just talks about the different ways that you can kind of stress your body a little bit and make it stronger. Modern life has kind of almost made us weak because we don't have those pressures anymore. It's just constant food and constant even temperature and everything like that. Yeah. So that's just another book that really resonated with me and made me kind of think about, you know, that cold exposure and sauna use and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it is something that we really need to be grateful for, right? Because, when I really kind of started diving into the whole vitamin D thing, I was stationed in England and I was an instructor up there it was 2005 to 2007. I was there. And there was a point in the wintertime where I would go to work and it would be dark and I would get off work and it would be dark. And I was just like, this sucks, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I also started noticing in myself that it was causing, you know, a little bit of depression. It was kind of, you know, I want to be outside. I want to be where it's sunny. And I am grateful I was playing sports at that time because that really helped me out. But other than that, you know, that's a real thing. So the fact that when we do have access to the sun, we have to use it because not everybody has that. Right.
Right.
So we have to be grateful for that.
But that's an absolutely great point. Going through those stressful events makes you grateful for what you have. Another thing that I tested out since about 2014, I was a friend of mine said, "Are you interested in doing the fast?" And I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" He's like, "Well, you do water only for 5 days." I was like, "I never thought about doing that." And I'm not encouraging anyone to jump out and do a 5 day fast.
Be careful with that, you guys.
yes, absolutely. Be careful with that. So I decided to try that. And what you notice is hunger comes in waves. It'll come and then it'll go away. And it'll come in and go away. And, you know, what you thought, you know, when you're thinking you're starving, you may not actually be starving. It may be just stress. And I just learned a lot about myself. Again, was I capable of doing that? And if you think about doing it, you definitely should talk to a doctor just to make sure.
Yes.
talk to a doctor before you do anything like that.
Yes.
But that was just another way to kind of, you realize that when you might be hungry, it may not truly be hunger. It may be something else.
That's a really good point. Something that I had to point out, or I point out a lot with people too, because a lot of times we're just thirsty, but the problem is our brain doesn't know the difference, right? So mm-hmm. in order to be able to communicate that to outwardly, our brain doesn't know how to differentiate. So I usually will tell people, especially when it's people who are kind of trying to get in better habits for eating and stuff like that, I'll say, hey, you know, before you go out to eat, drink a glass of water, eat an apple, right? And eat something with some substance in it, or drink some water or whatever. And a lot of people just aren't drinking enough water. And so they think that they're hungry, but they're really not. And then you have the stress concept, right? If they're stressed, maybe they're stress eating. So then we mm-hmm. have to kind of work through that too. So that's a really good point that you made on that.
Yeah, I never thought about that before until I went through that. So mm-hmm. I mean, my thoughts have changed since doing that. I tried to do the fast every year for a few years, and then as I've learned more about it, I've kind of drifted away from doing those. There's ways to do it safely with it. There's mm-hmm. something called the prolonged fasting mimicking diet, and it's basically small amounts of calories that you would do on a reoccurring basis, which is much safer than doing water only. But it's just another way to kind of, that I kind of discovered more stuff about myself when I.
It looks like we're freezing, trying to see. So we were basically just talking about what he did. There we go. We got him back. Oh. I was just going to go ahead and fill in because basically, you know, we were just kind of talking about some of the things that you've done and as far as fasting. And I wanted to, before we kind of transition and have to end, unfortunately, I want to kind of get your thoughts on, because I write about intermittent fasting. So what mm-hmm. are your thoughts on intermittent fasting?
So that has, I started doing intermittent fasting. That's where you're basically, I think when you refer to intermittent fasting, it's time restricted eating where you're eating with calories within a certain amount of a window. And I had a lot of the research was saying, you know, you should eat all your meals in eight hours or 6 hours. And then OMAD where you're just eating one meal a day. But recently I've kind of switched more towards 12 hour fasts, and that's kind of the max. Mm-hmm. I find that getting enough protein, because when we're talking about longevity, part of longevity is having enough muscle mass to maintain while you're going, you know, as you age,
right?
Because you start losing muscle after a certain age. Mm-hmm. So I've been prioritizing protein more, trying to get enough protein in throughout the day. And it's hard. You can't, it's not even possible to get enough protein in if you're doing one meal a day, I don't think.
Yeah, no, not very much.
So I've moved towards typically a 12-hour fasting window. I think minimum everyone should be at least taking a break two or three hours before you go to bed.
Yeah.
I've noticed that just measuring my heart rate's 10 beats higher at night if I eat a meal before mm-hmm. bed. And there's a lot of other health benefits to just avoiding food a couple hours before.
Yeah.
And then basically waking up and then you know, maybe an hour fast before you break your fast. So 12 mm-hmm. hours. And then I think if you want to do 16, it might be okay. I mean, you know, test it out and see what works for you. But I think at minimum, everyone should be doing like a minimum 12 hour fast.
Yeah.
And it's really not that extreme. I mean, that's not, you're just basically cutting out that like late night snacking.
Basically. Yeah. And that's what I love about it. I actually started doing it when I got into bodybuilding because it helped me kind of restrict my calories a little bit when I had to get, you know, a little bit leaner at the end. But, you know, one of the things that, because you harped on protein and, you know, I talk about this now, but I actually learned nutrition because I was trying to get my mom off of some of the medications that she was on back when I was her caregiver for a couple of years. And so I actually learned protein for brain health because she had multiple sclerosis. That ended up helping me with our daughter because our daughter got diagnosed with ADHD. And so knowing what I knew about protein and amino acids and things like that actually helped me with her. So she didn't have to be on medication and stuff like that. So protein is key. And I always say protein is king because yes. It's hormones, it's brain, it's every single cell in our body utilizes protein. So, you know, most people from what I found don't get enough protein. And so that's why I have people track their foods because I'm like, well, we don't know unless we, you know, kind of figure it out. So I'm really glad that you brought that up because that's a huge point. We need protein.
Yeah, 100% agree. I mean, it's, and I honestly, when I started tracking it because I didn't realize that I wasn't getting sufficient protein in. Mm-hmm. You don't really realize it until you start actually tracking it. That's why it's good to just track your food for a week just to mm-hmm. see how many calories are you really taking in? You know, and how many of those calories are coming from protein? You just don't know until you track it. And it's, you know, it's a little bit of a pain to do, but just doing it for a week, it really opens your eyes to like, are you eating sufficient protein? Or are you yes. getting too many carbs? Or are you getting too little carbs? You know, it's the only way to really find out is to track it. So,
yeah,
but that's why.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. That's usually I'll ask people like, if anybody's ever had a car that didn't have a gas gauge or if a gas gauge was broke, because I have had one of those and I've ran out of gas. Right. And I always tell people like, well, if you don't, you know, if your gas gauge is broke, which is basically what food tracking is, your gas gauge is broke because you're not seeing how much fuel you have, then you don't know. And that's why people get tired. They're, you know, they're just lethargic. They work during the day. They don't eat. And then they wonder why they're crashing or they're just really tired. And then what do? They turn to coffee and caffeine and, you know, all these other things. And in reality, they just have to learn how to eat better.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I could go on and on about nutrition.
I know, right? I think we could probably turn this into an easy 3-hour conversation. But yes. Unfortunately, for the time being, I think we'll have more conversation in the future, but for the time being, I guess we'll keep it, you know, under wrap. But what is something else that you might want to tell anybody out there listening? You know, maybe they're getting started on their health journey or they hit a roadblock, because that's what a lot of people end up doing too. You know, they get to a point, especially if they do something like paleo or keto or something like that, and then they get to a point where they just hit a roadblock. What is something that you usually tell people at that point?
I just take a step back and start simple and make it too. It's so easy that you can't not do it. Same thing going back to that breath, breathing. Just if 2 minutes is too much, then just acknowledge your breathing throughout the day. That's it. Mm-hmm. So just make the, you know, I'm sure you've heard of James Clear and his mm-hmm. Habit
book. Atomic Habits. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's like pure gold right there. Just start yes, small, start small and just, you know, and be willing to test different things out, because everyone's different. And if you try and find out what works for you, you're going to be more successful if you're willing to try different things. Definitely. And the last message would be just step out of your comfort zone every now and then. Whether it's, you know, if you're nervous about talking to strangers, talk to a stranger every now and then. If it's, taking a cold shower, whatever it is, just get a little bit of the vitality in there to become, you know, anti-fragile and stronger from the stress versus it, you know, making you weaker.
Yeah. I love that. All right. So tell everybody out there how to connect with you.
So Instagram is antifragile.fit. And then my website, troydelaney.com. Those are the two best ways.
Awesome. So. And like I said, I'll make sure I have all that for people to click on. And just for anybody out there listening, the book that we were talking about lastly was called Atomic Habits. And one of the things that he talks about is there was a guy that went to the gym and he would just park and go in for like 5 minutes, right? And he would leave. He would have a 5 minute timer and then he would leave. But what he was doing was he was establishing the habit of going, right? So that's, you know, it seems like you and I are, you know, we completely agree on that, because you can't get started unless you actually start. you will not achieve anything unless you actually start. And I always tell people, don't wait for perfect conditions, because it'll never be perfect, right? Like, I mean, even with this podcast, when I first started, I didn't know what I was doing and I wasn't that great at it, right? But I had to keep going, and we just get better as we go. So again, I really appreciate you coming on today. Definitely looking forward to getting to know you more, especially since we're in the same city, and seeing what else we can do together. So love it.
Sounds good, Jody. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Take care.
Yeah, you too. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening in. This has been another episode of Breaking Barriers Now. My guest today was Troy Delaney from Jacksonville, Florida. Thank you again, Troy, for joining me today. Thank you guys for listening in. Thank you for being a part of this journey that I'm on and for supporting this podcast, Breaking Barriers Now. Make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube channel, Jody Watkins Inspires, and make sure that you follow the podcast, Breaking Barriers Now, on all podcasting platforms out there. Thanks again, you guys, and have a blessed day.